Hello, everybody. It's 2 minutes past one. My name's Max. Barry's here.
Hello.
Jambo's here.
Hello.
Sam's here.
Hello.
What would we give that one out of 10 today, this show that you're just about to listen to?
8.
An 8?
Yeah.
All right. We'll go. You go with an 8?
I'll give you 8.5.
8.5? Yeah. That good. Here is our podcast. Please review us on iTunes. You can be as nasty as Mr. S76, who is review 5, where he says it's dire, devoid of any laughs, and I'm smug.
Pretty much nailed it.
He's bang on the money. Enjoy it. Yes, good morning, everybody. My name is Max Rushton. This is TalkSport, the world's biggest sports radio station. And this is the warm-up. Max and Barry Glendenning from The Guardian here until 1 in the afternoon. And Barry walked into the office today and I said, he's seen Dele Alli's goal. And he went, yeah, wasn't that good?
That's not technically what I said.
What did you say?
Well, I just think I've scored a similar one many, many years ago, playing with people who were about the same ability as me. He did it yesterday, playing with people of similar-ish ability to him. So if I can do it, it can't be that difficult. So hence my argument that that special.
Because, you know, your profile's growing, Barry, and, you know, you've got this image to uphold, you know, as a sort of grumpy, sarcastic type that, you know, if everyone else is being very positive about anything, you will naturally be negative about it.
No, I'm always positive about good goals, but I do also think it was a good goal.
Okay, thank
you. I just don't think it was as special as people are making out.
Do you think
also, I think Neil Jedinak and Scott Dann made it look better than it was by being so utterly hapless in their attempts to defend against it.
They were just stuck on it. You know, when you're playing a computer game and you're just stuck on run one way.
Yeah. If Dele Alli is listening, I don't want him to think I'm traducing what was a fine goal for a 19-year-old, you know, making his sort of having his first season in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it'll win goal of the season. I don't think it should anywhere near
goal. You don't think it should be even nominated?
Well, it depends. Will someone get a better one this month? I don't know.
I really wish they brought back the Life of Riley Lightning Seed song for goal of the month. That would make me happy. Do you think, though, because basically it's because of social media, which is basically at fault for everything, but does give us content on our show, that's why between Dele Alli scoring that goal and now, what, not quite 24 hours later, we're 20 hours later, maybe. We're getting... It's almost
there's
been
a backlash.
Whereas when when Van Basten scored in 1988, we were still excited about it because we hadn't had 70,000 people sending us that video between when it happened and the next day. Because what they'd have had to do would be to, like, record it on a VHS and then send it to you in the post, and you wouldn't have got Van Basten, you wouldn't have got the video.
And then you'd have to keep rewinding it to watch it over and over again. It's not just on a loop.
Yeah.
You may be onto something there.
I think I am.
I'm saying now, Dele Alli is rubbish and shouldn't be anywhere near the England team for Euros. No, it was a good goal. I don't think it was as good as people are possibly suggesting it was.
Okay.
Because I've scored a similar one. And if I can
I just don't think it can be
that hard.
Who are you playing for?
Pardon?
Who are you playing for?
I was playing for Burr Town FC,
right,
under 14s.
Okay. Who are you playing against?
I think it was Gallen United. But
okay.
I can't remember.
Somebody cushioned a header to you on the edge of the box. You chested it. Flicked
I can't remember
spun
where the ball came from, but the ball dropped for me. I took it away from a defender with
right.
one touch,
yeah.
Turned and rifled it into the...
Did you play with glasses on? You know,
no.
Like Huey Teep, the hurdler. Did you have a string and glasses around your head?
Mighty Mouse,
yeah,
from Roy the Rovers. No, I didn't. No.
Oh, okay. So, in fact, your achievement is greater because you couldn't even see what was going on. Dele Alli's got, as far as I know, got perfect eyesight.
See, I think... And I once scored with a header from
about... Oh,
well done. 15 yards out,
oh, okay,
which I think personally was a better goal from my point of view.
Than Keith Houchin?
I was kind of like Trevor Brooking. I didn't score with many headers, you know.
Okay.
And there are the similarities between Trevor Brooking and I ended because I didn't really score with anything.
No, and you didn't play for your country?
No.
No.
I didn't win the FA Cup.
No. You didn't become a sort of a bigwig at the FA, did
nope.
you? That's a shame.
There's still time for that.
I was listening. Oh, I listened to someone from the FA, thinking it'd be good to just get some. They should just throw in some. I mean, in FA terms, you're young blood, aren't you? Because you're sort of under 80. Yeah. Just chuck you in there. Are you available?
Not really. I don't think I'd know what to do. I don't think that
stops many people.
No, it doesn't seem to be a problem.
You just have to come out and say, I think England should win the World Cup in 4 years. And if not, then we've all failed.
Mm.
Do you want to know what's on the show today?
I can't wait to hear what's on the show.
If you've never listened to this show before, we have a 10-point agenda. If we achieve everything on the agenda, then well done us. And if we don't, it doesn't matter because nothing really matters. I'll tell you, nothing matters. I went to watch that Tarantino film yesterday. It's 27 hours long, and don't waste your time, you know. But it doesn't matter because, you know, we'll all be gone in 200 years, so, you know, maybe it was worth it.
I reckon Mark Kermode is really bricking himself now, having heard that withering, informed, carefully conceived critique.
I believe Tarantino really does find this show wonderful, though. So, you know. Right, so here's what's on the agenda. One, we talk about letters. Two, we talk to our short-sighted Welsh correspondent. Three, we have the Mick Hucknall-Pelle anecdote on an emergency button if the show isn't going well. Four, Omid Jalili will be funny about Chelsea. Five, we find out how many toilets a former Hammer of the Year has. Six, Max and Barry's Premier League review is here. Seven, John Ketley tells Sam Matterface and Stan Collymore what the weather's like at Goodison. Eight, personal trainer Luke conducts an experiment. Nine, we continue the Euros. It's quite exciting. England won 3-0 last week. Euros.
I think the Republic of Ireland are playing today.
Massive game for the Republic. 10, the 10th point does not exist anymore. I'm still not allowed to tell you about it. So very quickly, if you would like to get involved with the show, you can just sit and listen to it, as Michael Allen is doing on the Twitter. He sent a picture of the Morning Herald that he's reading, the Herald Sport, with two boiled eggs, saying, sitting down, ready for the warm-up to start. Do you think he's the only person in the world who actually just sits down and turns the radio on with a newspaper and two eggs?
What newspaper is it?
It says the Herald Sport. Is that Australian or is that Scottish?
But he wouldn't be having boiled eggs. It's late at night in Australia.
Well, maybe
he should be watching the Big Bash final.
He might be a maverick with his eggs. We have no idea. Anyway, you can listen to it like that. You can get involved with the show if you want. You know Jose apparently wrote,
Scottish.
Apparently, you know Jose wrote that letter to Man United.
Yes, great scoop by my chum Miguel Delaney.
Do you think it happened then? Because, you know, I put it on Twitter and then lots of Chelsea fans going, this is a load of nonsense. How dare you get sucked in?
Well, I know Miguel, who wrote the story very well. He's a compatriot of mine. And he's, I very much doubt he magicked it up out of thin air. He's got good sources at Manchester United. And I would say there's certainly more than a grain of truth to it. But I haven't spoken to him about it, so I don't know anything. And he probably wouldn't tell me where it came from anyway. But
got to defend your sources, haven't you? Right, so...
Jorge Mendes's denial is sort of intriguing as well, because Miguel made the point that Jorge Mendes denied something that wasn't actually a claim that wasn't made in the article. So.
Oh, I see. So he's let his guard down there, Jorge, hasn't he? So look, the question off the back of Jose writing a letter to Man United is, have you ever written to a footballer or have you ever received a letter from a footballer? We'll try and build a football team of written correspondence. This is no good for anyone under the age of 25 who's never written a letter in their life.
We will accept emails.
I suppose we really want letters, but if we're struggling in 20 minutes, then we'll go down.
So it has to be like Belvedere Bond, nice thick paper, with that thick lined sheet you put underneath so you can write it
straight
lines.
Written in a fountain pen.
Ideally with a fountain pen or a quill.
And headed paper.
Yeah.
That's what we want. 08717223344. You can text 81089, you can tweet at Max Rushton or at Big Led Danny, or you can write to us. Find the TalkSport address and then we'll read out those letters in about 3 weeks' time when they arrive. Swansea Everton, it's our live and exclusive national radio commentary of that game on TalkSport, kick-off at 1:30. Our Welsh correspondent is comedian and Swansea fan, Mr. Ellis James. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, we're very well, thank you. How's your eyesight currently? We know that it's, you know, it's degenerating.
You think that Fembi Gomez is a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, but a beautiful woman, like a sort of real Amazonian beauty. Oh, good grief. Is that lovely hair he's got, that lovely long hair? And then Emnes basically looks like a slightly smaller version when you've got eyesight like mine.
Ellis, I don't know if you're able to see a league table, but Swansea are very near the bottom of it. Where has it all gone wrong?
I don't know. Do you know what, right? I went to the Chelsea game, first game of the season, 2-2. The Canero game, and then obviously we beat United, And a friend of mine texted me and said, my dad is drunk watching Match of the Day and he thinks you're going to get top four. And I really thought this was going to be our season. I thought we were going to have a good go at one of the cups, maybe. And then we were going to, you know, comfortably finish eighth. And it's just sort of fallen apart. And, I don't know. I'm stressed.
There should be, Ellis, on the red button, Match of the Day, with the pundits being drunk dads instead of ex-pros, shouldn't it? I would definitely watch that one.
Well, didn't they used to have Fan Zone on Sky Sports, which was basically the same thing?
Yes, but it was... They weren't. If they were drunk dads, they'd be a bit quieter, wouldn't they?
Fan zone was a little bit noisy. There'd be long periods where they wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
And then they'd go, oh, exactly.
Or they just wouldn't be there and they'd come back. A mate of mine's dad, he eats about a kilo of cheddar cheese during Match of the Day and falls asleep, you know, after about the third game. That's what you want. You want Tony Holland there just eating cheddar cheese.
And then he wakes up and he's like, is this a Football League show?
Exactly.
Is that Manish? What's Manish doing nowadays?
So do you know who your manager is? Because we were having this, is it Curtis? Is it Guidolin? Are they doing it together? Who gets to choose that?
Is that how you say it? Guidolin?
I've called it...
I've gone with Guidolin, and then there's a video on the South Wales Evening Post website, Vox Pop, of people in Swansea trying to get people in the street to say it.
That's a fun day's work for someone, isn't it?
Guidolin, I don't know. Why are you asking me this? Who are you?
Surely it'll become Gwendolyn for most people in Swansea.
Oh, yeah. I'm fascinated by him because he's sort of... I've been reading a lot about him, and he's a bit of a disciplinarian. He made a Brazilian midfielder at Udinese cry because he made a couple of straight passes in training, and he just tore strips off this bloke, and then he burst into tears.
Oh,
and he's quite superstitious, so he banned them from a pizza restaurant because they'd lost the game in the league. And he just thought, I know what the problem is here.
They went to Pizza Land.
They all ate the same pizza restaurant. So I think this is easily solvable. And he sounds
like the perfect guy to get you out of a relegation scrap in the Premier League, doesn't he?
Yeah, bearing in mind that he's never managed in England. So I don't know. But everyone seems very impressed with him.
He did a very good job at Udinese. Got them into the Champions League, or nearly got them into the Champions
League
twice.
He's very respected in Italy. It's just that the players had to Google him, as did I, actually. I'd never heard of him. And he came from nowhere, because Bielsa was the one we were sort of, and Bergkamp as well, they were sort of the ones that people were talking about. And then suddenly now he's my... I mean, obviously I hope he does brilliantly, but he's very respected in Italy. So hopefully it'll be... And if he keeps this up, he's apparently going to stay on. That is what's in the papers this morning.
I was listening to Georgie Mickey earlier saying that Swansea have never beaten Everton in the Premier League.
No, not even in the 80s. Yeah, I've been to Goodison twice for the Swans, and we've always been absolutely abject. So... I'm not particularly hopeful for today, but you know,
I was at your game when you played Everton earlier this season. It was really good, 0-0, but really good game.
Oh yeah, I just find it all so stressful. I'm not even sure I like football anymore. I just can't cope with this. I try and prepare like the players. I've had Everton porridge and Lucas here today. I've gone back to bed.
You're going to go for a walk 2 hours before kickoff, and then
which is what Bobby Charlton did on the day of the 1966 World Cup final. Oh, I saw the other day. He went shopping in Golders Green.
What a great thing to do. Have brilliantly chilled out. You just see him before going, I've got a game later, Bob. Yeah, I have actually.
It's quite a big one.
Yeah. Oh, well, good luck.
It's one of those ones I probably can't help you with tickets for, actually, because it's, oversubscribed.
Listen, Ellis, give us a score prediction amid your stress.
I think, my head says that we're going to lose, but because we beat Watford on Monday night and we've got the Guidolin factor, I'm going to say 1-1. But I think my head says we're going to lose. That's a hard score.
Always good.
I am terrible at predicting results. Genuinely awful.
Always good when the most positive thing your heart can tell you is a 1-1 draw, isn't it? Thanks for your time, Ellis. Appreciate it, as always.
My pleasure.
Ellis James, our Welsh football correspondent. You are listening to the warm-up on TalkSport.
Max and Barry's Premier League review on TalkSport.
Let's have a look back at some of the Premier League games then with Barry Glendinning. Barry, should we start?
Only one place to start this weekend.
Old Trafford.
I was going to go to Hawthorns.
Yeah.
West Brom nil, Aston Villa nil.
Well, Villa
what a game.
Villa should have had a pen, shouldn't they?
They should. Jonas Olsen, our boy.
The beautiful Jonas.
Yes. Handsome, smouldering, lovely, Scandinavian, lank-haired Jonas diving in.
Yeah.
Who did he take down?
It's not important right now.
It is important. Who was it?
I can't remember.
Neither can I.
I watched the highlights after I'd got back from the Hateful Eight, which took 7 hours and was just so gratuitously violent that my head was sort of spinning. So by about 45 minutes in, you know, I sort of lost all concentration.
Okay.
To be brutally honest.
Anyway, Villa were very hard done, but they should have had a penalty. Jonas got away with a poor tackle in the penalty area, and it was, yeah, I think we've said already, spent too much time on that game because that's the only thing of note that happened in it.
Okay, Carrow Road, Norwich 4, Liverpool 5. What did you make of this? Apart from it was completely ridiculous.
I loved every minute of it. It was a fantastic game. I certainly didn't see this result coming.
No.
And I kind of felt sorry for Norwich, and then I saw footage of one of their supporters, like, uncontrollably weeping in the stand, and that always makes me laugh because it's someone else's football-related misery. And the highlight of that game, you know, 12 shots on goal, 9 of them went in. Liverpool's defending characteristically shambolic, particularly at set pieces, corners, free kicks. They just cannot defend them. And
it's just impossible to analyse a game that's so ridiculous.
Yes, and Jurgen Klopp broke his spectacles.
He did. And there was one of the Norwich coaching staff was doing that pointy thing, you know, as they walk down the tunnel, where everyone's a bit too close. It's always difficult when you get a lot of people and then push them into a very narrow space.
Funneling.
Yes.
Kind of like kettling, isn't it?
Well, as they were being kettled, as Norwich and Liverpool were being kettled back into the dressing rooms, there was some excellent pointing.
Yeah.
I really wish they had cameras all the way down the tunnel.
Was it the angry finger jab that signifies you shouldn't be celebrating so much?
It wasn't so much jabbing as just straight up the pointing, but there was a definite jabbing motion. I think you can forgive Klopp.
Jose Mourinho's horrible little number two. He's very good at the old finger jab.
It can be taken so many ways as it can. But you can't. I think if you score in the last minute, I think
you know.
It's
you know Mel, who used to work on this show before we catapulted her into the big time, and she went to work for somebody else.
Yes,
and Norwich fan Mel. I sort of tweeted Mel afterward. I just went, "Ouch, that was brutal." And she texts back, she went, just don't, I can't. And she apparently hurt her leg celebrating the goal that put Norwich 3-1 up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we go to Crystal Palace, and we've always sort of touched on the greatest moment of it, Dele Alli's goal, still getting reactions. Just to be clear, Barry, you think Dele Alli's goal wasn't that great because you've scored a similar goal for your under-15 side.
And therefore it can't be that difficult. I also think Neil Jedinak and Scott Dan made it far, far too easy for him. But I do think it was a good goal,
brilliant game. And actually, Crystal Palace had some great chances before Ali's goal. Crystal Palace were unlucky not to go 2-1 ahead.
Well, Crystal Palace just seemed to have problems scoring goals. I mean, not a single one of their players has scored in 6 league games. I think they had to rely on Jan Vertonghen to do a job for them yesterday. He scored a 30th minute own goal.
Yeah. Interesting, he's done his knee, hasn't he? So worrying for Spurs if he's out for a long time, because him and Alderweireld have been...
He was the victim of a bad tackle as well, wasn't he?
Conor Wickham elbowed him in the face.
That was it?
Yeah.
And
he was pulling his shirt, and Conor Wickham sort of thrust his arm out. I sort of understand why he did it, but he did catch him. And, you know, so it probably won't be in the report because the ref didn't see it. So that means he'll retrospectively get some kind of ban. Leicester City, once again, I predicted that this was the moment where, because whenever you see Stoke, you reckon, oh, they'll probably get a point. So I went for a 2-2. I thought this is the moment where, again, the bubble burst for Leicester. But
well, I had quite a reasonably hefty bet on Stoke to win this game.
Did you? What's reasonably hefty in your line of business?
Oh, not a huge amount.
Tenner?
What? I'll be heftier than that.
Okay. £2,000?
Considerably less hefty than
somewhere
that.
Between 10 and 2 grand on Stoke to win. And they didn't win.
No, they didn't. They got hammered. Yeah. So there you go. Write off Leicester at your peril.
It's only going to be when they're basically they've mathematically won the title, that pundits will say Leicester can win the league now. They'll have to be 10 points clear with one game to go. And people will go, do you know what? I reckon they could probably do it.
No, I think there'll still be people who say, nah.
That's not going to happen. Nah. And finally, for this section, Old Trafford, very pleased for Charlie Austin. I'm very pleased he got to move back to the Premier League.
Are you buddies with Charlie Austin?
I wouldn't say buddies. I think I've texted him once.
Did you reply?
Yeah, I think so.
Are you buddies with him the same way you're buddies with Jack Whitehall?
No, I think if I was to text...
You harass him with texts that never get replies.
I think if I was to text him, he'd probably reply, but it might take about 3 days.
Okay. Yeah, he scored a good goal, left completely unmarked.
Well, he lost his man, actually. Mm-hmm. He actually did very well to lose his McNair step back.
There's mouse on the pitch. That game, that was quite fun. It was one of the more interesting things that happened in that game.
Interesting how the mouse almost was quite bouncy, wasn't he?
Was it a mouse or a rat?
I think it was a mouse, tiny.
Okay.
But, you know, Manchester United had a...
Because I think before, not so long ago, I think it was Old Trafford, there was a real mouse infestation problem. And there was some game, I think it was Patrice Evra or something, went to ground and he was suddenly, like, surrounded
so like Indiana
by mice
Jones
scurrying away. And I'd have been quite like, you know, I'm not afraid of mice. I just don't like them particularly.
You jump if you see one jumping out of your risotto, right?
Yeah.
This is the warm-up on TalkSport. Good morning. This is the warm-up on TalkSport, the world's biggest sports radio station. Max Rush and Barry Glendening with you until one. Barry, you know how I love getting feedback on the show?
Yes.
Positive or negative?
Mainly negative.
Yeah, well, look. Retweeting.
Positive feedback is rare and boring.
I think they're about equal, to be brutally honest, but it's just really self-indulgent to read out anything positive. So I was looking at the show gets made into a podcast, right, which we put on iTunes, and you can download that. Or you can go to the TalkSport website and get it. And it gets reviewed on iTunes, okay? And we've not got many reviews, and we're up about 4.5 stars. You know, like when a hotel on TripAdvisor, it gets 10 five stars, and then someone's had a really bad time there, and they get no stars. And that's the review you want to read. So I'm going to read you this review, okay, Barry? And just
from iTunes?
Just from iTunes, okay.
Is this going to make me cry?
No, it should make me cry.
Okay.
This is from Mr. S76 on the 7th of September. An absolutely awful show. Devoid of any laughs. Rushton is his usual bland and humourless self, displaying lots of smugness mixed with zero charm. His stories of his amateur football team, brackets seriously who cares, are coma-inducing.
I'm with him on that one. Anyway.
But are topped by the worst radio and podcast feature of all time, Ian Culverhouse. Stay clear. Do you want a game of Culverhouse, Barry?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Pat Brandon Howe.
Gus Ulenbeek.
Vince Overson.
Greg Downs.
Peter Fear.
Peter Shirtliff.
Philip Starbuck.
Steve Anthrobus.
Malcolm Allen.
Dale Gordon.
Richard Ord.
Vince Bartram.
Brian Tinian.
John Hawkes.
Imre Varadi.
Youssef Chippo.
Gary Crosby.
Daryl Such.
Ian Culverhouse.
No, well done. That's great. Should we do Footballers Are Nice?
Yes, please.
Very pleased to say today's contestant on Footballers Are Nice is the former West Ham Cardiff Wales hero, Danny Gabidon. Danny, how are you?
Very good. Afternoon, chaps. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're very well. Now, this feature is all about whether you're nice or not, Danny. We're not strictly meant to talk about football, but I did want to just ask if you could just tell one of your Vincent Tan stories that you told us on the Fantasy Football Club when you came on a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you're killing me, Max. You're killing me.
Oh, just one. But say hello to Barry here.
Hello, Danny.
Hi, Barry. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
When you got the caretaker job at Cardiff, right?
Yeah.
Vincent Tan, one of his people, rang you and told you what?
Which one do you want? Well,
I want either one.
Okay, no, well, basically, yeah, got the caretaker job. Our first game was Derby away, so we've travelled away. We're in the hotel. Morning of the actual game, we've gone down for pre-match. We get called out of pre-match by, basically, it was Vincent's tan, kind of right-hand man at the time, who he kind of relays everything to. So he's pulled us out of the pre-match meal. He's then started speaking to myself and Scott Young, talking about Vincent Tan and what he'd been saying to him in the morning. So he basically said, oh, look, with this game now, I want the goalkeeper, when he takes his goal kicks, to basically kick the ball as long and as far as possible, because he might actually kind of score a goal, because we're not really scoring enough goals. So as you can imagine, myself, Scott Young, just laughing inside, basically just trying not to laugh at what we were hearing. He kind of walked off. We then pulled David Marshall out of pre-match and told him what we wanted from him, and he just basically burst out laughing, really. It was just kind of a comical kind of moment, really. But he was deadly serious. He's deadly serious.
Danny, this could have been a brilliant new tactical innovation that no one else has ever thought of before.
Well, it could have been. You've seen the odd kind of goal scored when there's a wind-affected kind of goal kick somewhere like that, but you don't really see it many times, so that was kind of his knowledge of football kind of summed up, really, in a nutshell here.
Whoever gets it, just shoot. All right, so this feature is called Footballers on Ice, Danny. We have 13 pointless questions to get through in the next 3 minutes. Okay. Quick fire here, Danny. Okay.
Okay.
Question one, if Barry and I were to come for dinner, what would you cook for us?
Probably something simple, but it'd be nice to have some kind of Italian food, I think, because that's probably my favourite food and it's quite simple to cook, so go with that.
Danny, if you were coming to our house for dinner and we asked if there was anything in particular you didn't want to eat, what would you say?
The only thing I hate is tomato ketchup. Okay. I absolutely hate it, detest it with a passion from when I was a kid, so as long as it was nothing with ketchup on it, then I'll eat anything.
Do you do your own laundry?
Sometimes, yes, sometimes.
Okay. How often is that? Mrs. Gavagon does it, doesn't she?
It's probably split. I'd say actually she does it more than me, but...
Thanks for your honesty there.
Do you recycle, Danny?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm hot on the recycling. Where I live, there's all kinds of boxes and bins that you need to do. So it's actually like you have to study things a little bit to know what's going in what. So I'm pretty hot on that. If the girlfriend puts it in the wrong bin, then I'm on it hard, like telling her that's wrong. So.
When did you last take public transport, like a bus or a train?
A couple of days ago, actually. Got on the train up to London. So.
Grounded, first class or in cattle?
No, in the cattle class.
Oh, good man, Danny. Look at that. Yeah. Man of the people.
Okay, yeah. Danny Gabadon, what's your favourite insect?
Insect?
A lot of people have struggled with this. Really, it caught Pat Jennings on the hop, to be honest.
Yeah, that's favourite. Does anyone like insects? Does anyone have a favourite insect? Well,
which one
sure.
do you find least objectionable, then?
I don't know, a fly or something. Okay. I don't really
a fly,
mind them.
That's
right.
Fine.
Yeah. Right.
Not sure you gave that full conviction, that answer. Danny, what's your favourite cheese?
Parmesan.
Oh, good choice.
Parmesan. I'm not a big fan of cheese, to be honest with you, but Parmesan, I do like a bit of Parmesan, yeah.
Danny, how many toilets do you have, Shea Gabadon?
One, two, three, four.
Okay. It's not bad. You know, Mark Schwartz will be up to 9 when his renovations are done.
9?
Yeah. He's having a urinal put in. Danny, what kind of pants do you prefer? Boxer, loose, tight, airy, brief?
Boxers, really, yeah. Okay. Boxers, yeah.
In your opinion, Danny, are you better looking than West Brom defender Jonas Olsen?
I'd like to think so. Okay. He's got that long hair and the headband.
He does.
And he looks like, I don't know, something from a Viking or something like that. So
he is Scandinavian.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah.
Okay. Do you smell nicer than Michael Carrick?
Does he smell nice?
He smells wonderful. Really fragrant guy.
Yeah, no, I think I smell good a lot of the time. Yeah, I got some nice fragrances. The wife normally tells me I smell good, so that's good enough for me.
And finally, Danny Gabaldon, are you nicer than Linvoy Primus MBE?
That's a tough one because he is a really nice guy, and obviously he's got that MBE tag, which kind of elevates him to a level of niceness which I ain't got to yet. I don't think so. I have met him a couple of times, played against him, so he is a really nice guy. So, from that statement, no.
Oh, well, listen, Danny, don't worry. No one's as nice as Linvoy Primus. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it greatly.
Pleasure.
Danny Gabaldon, Welsh Cardiff, West Ham legend. Four toilets. He is nice. In a moment, we're going to continue doing the European Championships by
dice. I'm actually genuinely nervous about this because I've got the fate of the Republic of Ireland in my hands.
You do. We're going.
It's almost like I'm playing. This is my first senior cap.
Yeah, that's an exciting time for you, isn't it? And many people think this might be ridiculous, but actually what I'm trying to do is get people excited about the European Championships just because it'll just come across so quickly. So this is just to get yourself in the zone so far, OK? Week one, France drew with Romania 1-1. Albania lost to Switzerland 3-0. A great start for Wales, 3-0. Week two, England 3, Russia 0. Poland 0, Northern Ireland 3, and Turkey 2, Croatia 0. Let's do today's fixtures. If you are just joining us, welcome to the warm-up on TalkSport, the world's biggest sports radio station. We have a Euro 2016 wall chart on the wall. Needs some extra reinforcements slipping down. But this week's games, we're going to start June the 13th, 3 o'clock Central European time in Toulouse. We'll all be watching Spain versus the Czech Republic in Group D. Already Turkey have beaten Croatia in Group D, so that group is Spain, Czech Republic, Turkey and Croatia. I'll be representing Spain. 1 is 1, 2 is 2, 3 is 3 on the dice. 4 is also 1, and 5 and 6 are 0. No team will score more than 4 goals in the European Championships this year. It's a guarantee from me and Barry. More than 3, yes. Right, let's go. Spain v the Czech Republic. Spain 1.
Czech Republic 3.
It's a fascinating opening score.
Spain on the back foot already.
Okay, this is a big game for you, Barry. The 13th, Central European time, Republic of Ireland kick off the Euros against Sweden. When was the last time? When were the Republic last or something? What was it?
They were at the last European Championships. They lost all three games and stank the place off.
When were they actually in a competition?
I believe it's the worst performance by any team in the history of the European Championships.
And you always think they'll do all right for some reason. I don't know why.
But everyone in Ireland took consolation in the fact that we're the best fans in the world.
You're absolutely right. Okay, so Republic of Ireland.
I have to be the Republic of Ireland, sorry.
Oh, you're the Republic, okay.
Well, I think it's only fitting and proper.
Yeah, fine.
Unless, oh God, the pressure. Republic of Ireland 2.
Sweden 0.
Get in!
I like the fact you actually think that's in any way going to happen in the actual tournament. All right, finally today, in Group E, 9 o'clock Central European time, Belgium versus Italy in the group of death. Good win for the Republic in that group. Right, Belgium, 0.
Italy, 1. Classic Italy.
Well done. So let's just...
So the Republic of Ireland, top of Group E.
They are. Let's recap those results. Spain 1, Czech Republic 3. Republic of Ireland 2, Sweden 0, Belgium 0, Italy 1. Next week, Austria versus Hungary. Portugal, it's a historical game that, Austria-Hungary. Portugal versus Iceland, Iceland's debut. And Romania versus Switzerland. They were the European Championships by dice all the way until the final. We'll do an entire special on an entirely made-up final in the European Championships 2016. Bet all your money on these results. Chelsea 14th in the Premier League, 25 points from 22 games. The bottom three, Newcastle, are 18th, 21 points from 23 games. Away to Arsenal today. Let's talk to Omid Jalili, comedian and Chelsea fan, about this bizarre season. Omid, hello, how are you?
Max, very entertained by your letters to footballers, and that's very funny. I wrote to the FA in 1983 after England had lost 1-0 to Denmark in the European Championship qualifier, because I said, is Bobby Robson the right man? Because Denmark were like a little bit better than Luxembourg, and they came, and I said we had a nobody like Alan Simonsen, who's a nobody at Borussia Mönchengladbach, has come and humiliated. I'm the child of an immigrant. And I live for England doing very well. I'm very sad. And I got a letter back from the FA acknowledging it and saying
great.
That we're all very disappointed, but we must get behind Bobby Robson.
And did that? Did you then get behind Bobby?
I did. Yes, I did. Because although we were terrible, that he kept losing games, but then he suddenly turned it round. And I think we forgot all about
it. It's the power of the letter.
Yes, but I got an acknowledgement from the FA. It was hilarious.
Wasn't Alan Simonsen famously in some movie or other?
Was he?
I didn't know that. Something to do with a sniper. I think he was shot by a sniper in some film. Oh.
Well, you frantically Google that, and I'll find out how Omid feels about Chelsea.
Yes.
Still, they are in the relegation mix.
Yes, we are. But, you know, nothing changes the importance of an Arsenal-Chelsea game. A few years back, I went to, at the Emirates. You remember when Arsenal beat Chelsea 3-1? I don't know if you remember that game. It was 3-0 up. It was, I think, at the time of Benitez and... I was in the Chelsea end, and I've got mates of mine, a whole bunch of comedians, Ian Stone, Alan Davis, they're all there.
They're all Arsenal fans.
Yeah. We're texting each other. And I don't even remember when Walcott scored the third goal, I actually texted them saying the noise, it must have been the highest decibel level ever reached. And they said, absolutely. We've never heard it. That was the most intense the Emirates ever. Walcott's third goal against Chelsea, I think it was 2011 or 2012, I'm not quite sure. But that is the meaning of the game. And I'll tell you this, I went to it. This really sums everything up about the Chelsea-Arsenal. I went to a Chelsea-Tottenham FA Cup semi-final, the year Chelsea won the Champions League. They won the FA Cup. They beat Tottenham 5-1. I was sat next to a really well-to-do barrister. I didn't know him. And there's a chant.
How did you know he was a barrister? Did he have his wig on?
No. It was just chatting to him. And he's quite well to do. But I noticed that every time Chelsea was singing what I find a very objectionable song, which I never get involved, which is Stand Up If You Hate Tottenham, he would stand up and would chant and then would sit down again. And then after about the fourth time, I said to him, do you really? Because I don't hate anyone. I mean, I thought Dele Alli's goal was amazing. I'm the first to appreciate. But I said to him, do you really hate Tottenham? He goes, no, not really. I've got quite a bit of an affection for Tottenham. My father supports Tottenham. I'm just blending in, joining in. It's Arsenal. It's Arsenal who I really hate. But we don't have a song that kind of encapsulates our hate for them. So I'll just get up and do the We Hate Tottenham song because that'll do for now.
I love that.
I can confirm that Alan Simonsen was in a movie called The Sniper, during which a sniper attempted to shoot him mid-game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, at least he was in, you know, play. It was a cameo, really, wasn't it? But not a normal thing.
Well, no, you can see him. I'm just looking at it on YouTube now. He's lined up right in the crosshairs.
Oh, wow. Really?
Goodness.
What year was that?
God.
Did it not say on the YouTube?
Right, you carry on.
Okay, you look at the year, because it could be the year, because England fans hated him. We hated Denmark because they put us out of the year. We didn't qualify that year, and it really upset me, I remember.
Made you write a letter. Do you think, everyone says two things that all the pundits are saying at the moment, Omid. One is, well, Leicester won't keep this up, and they do. And the other is, well, this will be the day that Chelsea actually come good. So is this the day?
No, I don't think. I think I speak for most Chelsea fans. If we get a draw, we'd be very happy. There's a part of me thinks we could nick it, and I think it'd be high scoring. It'll be probably 3-2. I had a dream that Arsenal spanked it. You know, Jose's not there, so there's always been mind games between Jose and Wenger. Yeah. And he's not there, so that makes us vulnerable.
Do you think this is quite good for the Chelsea fans, just to have 1 year like this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was speaking to Tim Lovejoy. He goes, I'm loving it.
Who were you talking to?
Tim Lovejoy.
I don't know who that is.
I bumped into him, and he said, isn't this great? And I was sat with David Baddiel, and he goes, oh, boy, isn't it lovely? No, it's not. He goes, I'm loving it. It's like the old days. I said, no, we didn't want the old days. But there is something. I do know when Terry scored in the last second against Everton, a goal completely offside. I was listening to Chelsea TV, and Jason Cundy is going absolutely berserk just because we get a point against Everton. And I like that we fought, and I like that we won a point. But we've been waiting for the turnaround, and it hasn't really come. You live in your hope, but I think If we get a draw, I'm going 2-2. If we get a draw, I'll be really happy. 2-2.
2-2. Thank you for your time, as always. Much appreciated. Top man. Comedian, Chelsea fan, Omid Jalili. Live and exclusive national radio commentary. Everton versus Swansea. After that, updates of the Arsenal-Chelsea game in Call Collie Moore from 4.
Talk Sport breaking news.
After the show last week, Barry Glendening said it felt like an ordeal. A view echoed by the West Brom boss, Tony Pulis.
Flat. No sparkle at all. Bad day at the office.
Yeah, Pulis unimpressed. Louis van Gaal didn't have to listen.
I'm very happy.
Gus Hiddink, do you think it's time to change things?
We desperately like to do so.
Alan Pardew, do you think we should change things?
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, Arsene Wenger, do you think we should change things?
It is needed.
Yeah, I mean, anyone could do Barry's job. Do you have a pet monkey who could take his place?
We have one.
Tell us about him.
He's a positive boy, 23 years old, very intelligent.
23 does seem quite old for a monkey. I just checked with Eddie Howe. How old is he?
He's only 22.
Oh, OK, makes sense. Anyway, Arsene, what would it mean to you if we swapped Barry for a monkey?
I would love it, yes.
I can't confirm anything at this stage, and Barry is sitting here, but, you know, at least the monkey has been mentioned.
He would have loved that.
Yeah. He watched The Breakfast Show from just behind Mickey Quinn's chair, actually.
And I think he had a good view today.
That sounds a bit like a restricted view, really. How easy is it to see the picture of a game when you're stuck behind Mickey Quinn? Here's Louis van Gaal.
That's not so easy.
Yeah, but you can do it.
We can do it.
Yeah, Louis, me and Barry are going to the cinema to watch Cool Runnings later.
And we have seen that also today.
Oh, great, great film, isn't it? So motivational. If I was a manager, I'd make my players watch it.
That's what I ask my teams to do.
Yeah, that's settled then. Me and Mark Hughes are agreed. Wayne Rooney, where's Tipperary?
It's a long way away, I think.
Yeah, it is. On a separate note, even though Michael Carrick was in the crowd last week, I couldn't help noticing some of the players, the Liverpool players, getting drawn towards his amorous scent.
I think a few players, their players got attracted to him.
I think you're right. To the Midlands now, and Remy Gard tells us how he feels when he realises he's moved his entire family from the French Riviera to Birmingham.
Very upset.
Claudio Ranieri moved from somewhere nice to the Midlands. What happened with Mrs. Ranieri?
Very big battle.
Oh, I can see that. To South London now, and when Alan Pardew and Mark Bright play hide and seek, the rules are simple. No one is allowed to use Chairman Steve Parish's excellent thatch of hair to conceal themselves.
I'm not going to hide behind that, and nor can he.
Eddie Howe, are you regular at the moment?
Incredibly tight down the bottom.
It's a problem Steve Bruce only knows too well.
In and around the bottom area where we're going to be, and I've had plenty of experience of it.
They were the best bits. If you didn't like it, don't listen to the whole show. But if you did, you can listen to the whole of it on a Sunday at 11. That's when we're here. So like, if we have to be here, you might as well have to listen to it. It's only fair, isn't it? Thanks.